The most useful dimension of the Enneagram begins when we move beyond the typology and develop an awareness of how we interact with others and carry ourselves in the world. Aphoria wants to invite coaches, therapists, and organizational development practitioners in applying the Enneagram in areas of inclusivity, leadership, and team dynamics. Visit aphoriapartners.com for more information on deepening your knowledge and practice of the Enneagram. That's aphoriapartners.com or click the link in the show notes.
And welcome back to the IA Podcast. We're actually coming to a close here in the last few days and even our recording sessions. And man, we've saved, I think, maybe the best for last, as they say. So we have a special guest with us, Nhien Vuong. Thank you so much for being here with us. And I know you were heading out and we caught you just at the end here. So thanks again for being here.
Yeah, indeed. It's such an amazing thing to be with you here in person here in San Francisco at the IA conference. Yeah, you said, you know, save the best for last. I would say definitely the edgiest for last. So we could talk about that. But yeah, so this time I did not present on spirituality and the Enneagram. Mm. I was the facilitator of a panel, yeah. Enneagram After Dark, which explored the topic of sex and the Enneagram. Mm. Yeah. So any questions? No.
I like that you keep notching it down to the next level of intensity. Right.
So it was a conversation with several panelists.
Yes.
So maybe paint a little picture for the listeners who weren't able to be here in person in San Francisco for how that conversation evolved.
Yes. So it was a group of Enneagram professionals. We're an official IEA Enneagram group, you know, Sex and the Enneagram, and basically interdisciplinary group of researchers, coaches, therapists, so clinicians, as well as me, the oddball minister, who's like in this Sex and the Enneagram group. And so what our exploration was about, I mean, what it was about was like beginning this discussion that we felt was so important in our global Enneagram community to talk about a topic that impacts all of our lives, whether or not we are having sex, or, you know, and for some of us, it impacts in a negative way. If we're not, and some, you know, and so there's some piece to where there's a universality to this experience and our relationship to this experience. So it felt important for all of us, as personally as well as professionally, to bring this, again, edgy, often shadowed topic to the table here, you know, and to really begin to, you know, find some spaces for healing within it. And I can share a few of the names of the presenters, yeah. You know. So we had Sam Greenberg, who has recently done extensive research. She is a sexual five. She's done a great research on sex and the Enneagram. Lindsay Fraser, she's a therapist who specializes in sexuality. Valerie Wanamaker is also a therapist. Dace Mars is a counselor, therapist who does more like Eastern philosophy and spirituality with the Enneagram. And there's Misty Rainmaker is a therapist as well, who's very interested. You know, apparently, you know, the Enneagram is still still not widely accepted among, so like, certified therapists, right? So she really wants to bring it to that world and train other clinicians, if you will. And then there's Dr. Frederick Cohn, who's done extensive research with Valerie, focus groups on the Enneagram. So a pretty diverse group. Frederick is Belgium. Dace is, is it Tokyo? But definitely, most of us are based in the U.S., but there is an international flavor to it. And so with that, there's also some understanding of like the differences in different cultures and how sexuality is received. You know, I will say that the first time we presented was in Stockholm. And I think because, you know, there was a little bit more openness, you know, than here in the U.S. initially. And it was so well received there, as I felt like it was in general here. So that was a good step. And yeah.
Could you speak to a little bit, you're mentioning this right before we hit the record button, just kind of this, as a minister, bringing in a little bit of the context of even some of the shadow, the cultural shadow that maybe doesn't get addressed around sex and within certain religious contexts.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think that one of the reasons I was inspired to participate in this, because this is like not the core of my work. I don't really know how I ended up in the sex and the Enneagram program. I was like, I'm not a sexpert, but so I facilitated the panel. But I think my openly broaching this topic has given space for people to come to me, right? And people who have had some trauma around religious dogma and what happens when it's kind of repressed or shamed in a in the religion mm-hmm. of origin. And so for me, it was important to be a space for those who are on a spiritual or religious path to feel like they are not ousted from the kingdom because, you know, and that someone was comfortable talking about it, right? There are people where they felt like, yeah, they could talk about it, but maybe their pastor or something wasn't actually comfortable being able to talk about these issues, right? And they affect like marital, you know, like happiness, right? And they go beyond just like having sex, right? It's as we've come to learn in this group, just to give a little context, this Ennea group has been meeting twice a month for 3 years now. And I mean, how astounding that people from different walks of life who gathered together on Zoom during COVID just ended up connecting so deeply with one another. But it really was like one of the things is if you could talk about sex, you can basically, I mean, you know, that opens a door to intimacy and getting to know each other on a profound level. And so that was the first piece of it. But then we found that like we had different elements to offer and different perspectives. It's astounding in this group how like hearing about different philosophies has altered all of us within it. But to go back to the religious context, I think I'm the only minister, you know, like in the group. And so that is a piece that I bring around religious belief systems. And oh, this is what I was going to say. What the research is finding is this makes a lot of sense, that we are meaning makers as human beings. And so much of the research is really looking at how the different Enneagram types attribute different meaning. And not just types, but we're really seeing instinctual stacking. Like, and not just like your dominant, but like your repressed instinct, making a big difference in like what you even call intimacy or what sex is for, right? And so like depending on where you land there, there's a relationship that you have with what's not appropriate, right? That might be based on your repressed instinct, you know, and that also kind of feeds into your relationship to the outer world or culturally, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Any type of inner work requires a confrontation of versions of ourselves that may be uncomfortable or scary. Sarah Jane Case invites you into a poetic exploration of who you thought you had to be through her new book, The Enneagram Letters. You can find this creative approach to your personal development anywhere you buy books online or using the link in the show notes.
So as you held space for this conversation and facilitated, were there any kind of other high-level main takeaways in this? It was 3 hours, right?
Oh, it was actually only two.
Oh, 2 hours.
So it was harder for us. In Stockholm, we had like 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we had to condense and take out a lot of the experiential. I'm sure people are laughing. What experiential did we take out?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it was more like you know, like interactive exercises where people would feel into the instincts is the idea. So we did do a practice. Daysmars led this practice where we literally like you drop into, you know, like an awareness of your lower regions, like the hip area and this like the jutting of the hip forward versus back. And this is my dumbed down version of his very intricate meditation. But so at one point, you know, well, first of all, we opened with like a three-centered meditation because I was like, you know, oh, let's take a step back. When I was a student minister, my very first student chapel service was on, here's the topic, enlightened intercourse.
Wow.
That was the topic. Yes. Enlightened intercourse. Okay,
wow.
So that's a little bit of background I just left out.
You know? That makes sense that you facilitated.
Yes,
then.
But it was bizarre. They didn't know that when they invited me.
Yeah.
But exactly that, to illuminate and bring illumination to this topic of, and playing on the word discourse and intercourse, right?
Sure.
So, but when I did my rehearsal, it was a horrible rehearsal for my student chapel service. I realized I went all the way up in my head because it was so scary to talk about. And so I brought that up at the beginning of our session to be like, to do a three-centered meditation, to drop in, to make sure we're in our bodies, that we're open-hearted, that we're listening from different places and not just like abstractedly, right? And so that was like a key piece to this. And then later when Dace did this, you know, people, it wakes up parts of you, you know? So here we are in a room full of people and it's like, there's that, like, can we name this? Like, you know, was anybody aroused by this practice? Yeah. Like how simple that was and how vulnerable and intimate. But overall, all of these amazing Enneagram professionals, I went around and asked them about how learning the Enneagram changed their sex life. So we were modeling what we wanted, you know, just like in the Enneagram world in general. Like, I think I'm tired of these like head-based presentations that are didactic, you know, then there's a sense of if what I'm teaching, I have not applied to my own life, if it's not relevant to me, like, it, you know, it's like for the inner work to happen, like or for the outer work to happen, I think the inner work has to happen first. And so in our session, there was vulnerability on all the professionals' parts to say, hey, this has changed my life. Right. And then from that place, instead of how we often approach it, oh, yes, as a professional, I'll think about how my clients can be helped by this, you know. And so that, I think, was a huge, powerful piece in what we did together here. Yeah. And that brought up a lot for people, you know, and some of the feedback was so touching. Like one woman shared that like she has been married for like 20 years, was actually because of sexual issues, differences, was considering divorcing, and that our talk, and especially the differences in the instinctual stacking, it gave her hope, you know? I mean, this is like real life. Her life could be radically changed by this shift of hope that says we just didn't understand each other from these different vantage points, depending on the dominant instinct. And
kind of breaking down some of the stigma so that it can actually be talked about and addressed, so that you can actually work with it and bring it into your relationship.
Yes. 100%. And that's what some of these therapists who are, they're available for that support of like communication and normalization of things that people have been afraid to bring up in the context, you know, of their intimate partnerships. So to normalize it for sure.
That's good.
So to begin to close down the conversation, obviously it's a massive topic, but first, where can people find you as well as like, I mean, I guess you don't have to name everyone on the panel, but like what would be a great place for people to begin stepping into this content and get in contact with you if they need to?
Well, for me, I am the founder of Evolving Enneagram. So that's evolvingenneagram.com. I'm also on Instagram by the same like moniker.
And I've done some work with Nian and she's brilliant. So please go that way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's contemplative, interspiritual. You could tell my spirituality is very spacious, you know, like, you know, and that's my work. But I think that, the Enneagram group itself, Frederick has an Enneagram and Sexuality like Facebook page. See, there are only a few people really doing this in the world. This is a global group. So all you do is like look on Facebook and Enneagram Sexuality, you'll probably find us. Because really this is like kind of that edge of, that edge of, you know, our work, et cetera. But
So I'm struck with how sex and sexuality is so deeply part of like the innermost sense of self, right? And as a minister, stepping into those vulnerable places, into those intimate places, what's your plea to the Enneagram community? What's wisdom you can share from that sort of shepherding mentality of this is how we can move forward together very gently and gingerly, but with clarity and honesty. How do we do that?
What a great question. Yeah, I think from my perspective, there's this normalization of our human experience. like there's a way that we don't talk about death either, right? Historically, that's like that there's a modeling of this. If we really believe in like the ending of othering of parts of ourselves and our humanity, then let us bring everything into our circle of exploration and discussion. And then I think along with that, I think in my ministry, there's a lot of vulnerability. And most people who tell me, like who stay in the work, say it's because I share first, because I lead with that. And I think that the need for, again, fellow professionals like to lead within their ethical context, right?
Of course.
Therapists are in a different position, but to lead with that, even among other professionals, to bear ourselves so that the others feel safer to share their own truths. Mm-hmm. I think that's a gentler way than everybody should talk about this, right? I don't feel that way at all. You know, I have to attune to your sensitivity. I'm a sexual dominant, you know, I'm more likely just, you know, to be like forward with that, you know, and to honor that I'll share and I as an invitation, not as a command or a requirement, right?
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you, all of you.
Thank you.
So great to be with you always.